Well, I can tell you're in a good mood today.
Dude, I've had a pretty good week. New position, new job. Everyone's really nice. So we started a new segment on our Lost episode. Last episode.
Last.
This is called Updates on the 2000s. Catherine, play Muse music underneath. I demand.
Just like last time in the last Lost episode.
I'm literally repeating myself. I copied and pasted this shit. So, let's get some updates on the 2000s and the now. Britney fans were this is old ass news at this point. Yeah. They were protesting outside the psych ward she was at, and then she literally told everyone to leave her alone. Literally, like,
leave Britney alone,
and. You know, people were saying her management's toxic and all this stuff, which is true. But she went there willingly to go get herself some help, and then afterwards she checked out of the hospital. And now yesterday or earlier today, she posted herself doing yoga in her backyard, living a good life.
You know, maybe if way back in the 2000s we had listened and left Britney alone, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation today.
I think you're correct. Speaking of being left alone, Woodstock 50 is officially canceled. It is done. Financial backers fucking pulled out and said, this is not happening. Fuck this. Like, it's going to be a mess. But the organizer insists that this will fucking happen. This is Firefest.
Yeah, really.
It's waiting to happen. A music source griped saying, quote, no agents want to send their acts. They're arguing the contacts were with the financial backers, and they're gone. No one wants to be a part of this. It's going down in flames. Firefest. The organizer insisted
That's the Firefest tagline.
Yes, exactly. This is going down in flames. The organizer insisted all the contracts were made through both entities. There is no reason for them not to play. The source also said they're in talks with new financial backers that once the deal is secured, people will mellow out. And I don't fucking think so. Technically, Woodstock is in 3 months. It is. It's going to happen like that.
That's quick, yeah.
It's going to be right around the corner. Reports said the fest was having issues with securing proper permits, but the organizer told the newspaper he's been granted a conditional permit, that there are plans in place for traffic, water, and security. Quote, this is being done professionally. We're using the best people in the business to put on this event. People will be safe. It will be fun. And hopefully impactful. I agree with that last part, but I'm not sure he means positive impact.
No.
Yeah, so we're not going to Woodstock. This is gonna be bad.
And I'm glad.
I'm glad. Yeah. It's gonna be a fucking mess. NSYNC might reunite minus Justin Timberlake, and they were offered millions of dollars to do so. And it's a stupid fucking idea.
Who would pay the millions of dollars to reunite without Justin Timberlake? Like, what's the point?
You have no idea the amount of insanity there is out there that would pay for this nonsense.
There are a lot of people who are into NSYNC.
Yeah, and so, basically, without Justin, this is not NSYNC, it's just Sync. It's like, you just have... You're missing the core of the group, and it's fucking him. And so, you know, JC isn't a leading man... But a quick update I read today, AJ from the Backstreet Boys said Justin should consider the idea of a joint tour with NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, which would have been amazing in 2001.
It would make hell of money.
It would have been one of the greatest things since Michael Jackson made a comeback tour.
Like, he could just quit, retire, and be really wealthy for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he already could, but like...
Yeah, he can literally fucking stop. But NSYNC Backstreet Boys joint tour, that would be... I think that idea
should have... It'd be a lot of 30-year-olds.
Yeah, just a lot of moms.
A lot of like 30, 40-year-olds.
Just like, I loved these guys so much back when I was a kid, bringing their daughters and stuff. Just like, remember these guys? And they have no idea who the fuck these people are.
Their daughters.
Just a bunch of fat guys on stage doing a lot of classic R&B.
There are daughters who would rather see that. What's that dude that does the Old Town Road song?
Lil Nas X.
There you go.
Yeah, they would rather see Lil Nas X.
That's true.
Yeah, I know that Lil Nas X is awesome. But you know what else is awesome, Catherine? talking about the 2000s. Boom.
The segues are back.
I threw it up.
That's so disgusting.
That's why I don't play sports with you, because I feel like I gave it to you, and you were like, no.
Well, while we're on the subject, I have a new toy.
Ooh. What is that? Do you have a snap? You have a snap bracelet? This is very 2000s of you. The snap bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
It's my new toy. And I have a scrunchie today, too. Just really feeling it.
So, we are here talking about crunk music.
Yeah!
It's going to be awesome.
What?
I said it's going to be awesome.
Okay!
Perfectly timed.
I'm sure you didn't practice that like 20 times.
I didn't.
I
set the time code and it worked.
I don't believe you.
We are joined today by our special guest, Lil Jon. You know, as you heard him just now. He will be limited to 3 words throughout the entire episode, which are...
Wow, you even...
I'm getting a phone call.
Well...
Get me a fucking second. Alright, so we're back. I had to take a phone call.
Jason's a popular guy.
So, Wikipedia's whole definition of crunk music is probably the most hilarious thing. It's so defined, like someone wrote a thesis as an 80-year-old white man. And I can't describe it any better than just reading it. And
if I ever go back to school, I think I want to write a thesis paper on crunk.
Here's the first whole sentence. The term has been attributed mainly to African-American slang, in which it holds various meanings. It most commonly refers to the verb phrase, to crank up. It is theorized that the use of the term came from a past tense form of crank, which is sometimes conjugated as crunk in the South, such that if a person, event, or party was hyped up, i.e. energetic, quote, cranked or cranked up, it was said to be crunk.
That really does sound like a scientific research paper.
Here's another mind blower for you. In publications, crunk can be traced back to 1972 in the Dr. Seuss book, Marvin K. Mooney, Will You Please Go Now? He uses the term crunk car without any given definition. The term has been traced to usage in the 1980s coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, nightclubs, and meaning being full of energy or hyped. In the mid-1990s, crunk was variously defined either as hype, fat, PH, or pumped up. Rolling Stone magazine published a glossary of dirty South slang where to crunk was defined as to get excited.
Nice.
I could not have said that better myself.
Crunk equals getting excited.
Crunk equals... Dr. Seuss created crunk. I think...
Yeah, people be like, let's go get crunk.
I think that's the fact that we should take from this shit. The term has continued to evolve, taking on a negative stigma with police, parents, and the media. In 2011, the company which manufactured Crunk Drink, which we will definitely be talking about, brought out an alcoholic version named Crunk Juice. This drink was allegedly marketed towards 19 and 21-year-olds, those under the U.S. legal drinking age, resulting in Crunk Juice drinking being blamed as a cause of crime or becoming a victim of crime. The mainstream media began publishing stories in which the term crunk was used to refer as crazy and drunk criminals.
Well, I will say that I feel like no one really over that age wants to drink an energy drink and alcohol because they don't bounce back as well as 19 to 21
year
olds.
I will say this. I've never had crunk energy drink. I remember being a solo all the time. It was right next to Four Locos.
Yeah.
And this was early on in high school, like years ago.
I've never gone near any of those. I've never mixed an energy drink.
Well, they don't do it anymore because people actually died from that shit.
Yeah.
Like Four Locos, my friends used to down that shit all the time. And that stuff will make you fucked up.
Yeah, I've seen it and I'm like,
It is. But like now, it's not like that anymore. But back then, they would just mix alcohol and energy drink in such a half-half percentage that it just fucked you up after one can. And so...
And they're big cans, like they're not small.
And Crunk Energy Drink is still a brand that exists today, and it As a person that's had the Four Loko, I never wanted to try Crunk energy drink. But here are the following ingredients that are now used. They say it's all natural ingredients that they use. Ashwagandha, horny goatweed, skullcap, grapeseed extract, guarana, white willow bark, ginseng, and milk thistle.
Interesting.
Sounds tag like yourself.
Something out of Whole Foods.
Tag yourself. I'm horny goatweed.
Of course you are.
So to talk about Kronk is to synonymously talk about Lil Jon. So basically, Lil Jon is the face of Kronk. This man has had a very fascinating career. He came from local DJ, meeting Jermaine Dupri, to becoming executive vice president of A&R at So-So Def Records. Rest in peace.
He's living so many SoundCloud rappers' dreams.
Dude, I mean, Jermaine Dupri met him in a club, and he was like, I knew I had to hire him because Lil Jon, like, got along with everybody, he knew everybody, was well connected, and he just fucking had energy. He was DJing, people loved being around him, he like knew every face that was coming through, and this was in 1996. I had no idea his career spanned this fucking long. And he was still DJing at clubs, even being VP of A&R, being radio personality in Atlanta. And then, 1996, he created the infamous group called Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. Do you remember them, Catherine?
No, I was a baby.
You were a fucking baby.
I was but a youngin.
A tiny toddler. A tiny child. How old were you in 96?
I was born.
Fuck.
I was born.
Fuck, you
which
were...
part of 96?
Yeah.
Because some of it
Christ.
I wasn't alive yet.
Yeah. If you can guess Catherine's actual age, like, that would be wild. Because I feel like it fluctuates at times.
What do you mean it fluctuates?
I have no idea. Because it feels like you're 80 one day, and then you're like, you're 24 the next.
And then other days, I'm like 3. It really depends on my mood.
God.
Right now, I'm drinking red wine, so I'm feeling a solid, like, 40
yeah.
right now.
Fucking East Side Boys, I remember they had that one infamous song that we will get to, but they had been around since the fucking 90s, and one of their third album, that's when they started getting a lot more noticed. People started realizing that Kronk was like a thing, and they were like at the forefront of it all. They put the song called Put Your Hood Up that I was listening to before I got home. And it is a big fight song. It is a song that if I went to a party tonight, I would want to punch someone in the fucking face. Because I gotta put my fucking hood up and represent my fucking clique.
That's exactly the kind of energy you need.
That is the energy I provide, I think.
Yeah, it really is.
The album cover for their third album had a lot of Confederate flags up.
Oh, jeez.
It's not like they were burning them. They were like proud of being from the South. And Lil Jon is wearing one like a cape. There was a shit ton of features on here that was Ludacris, 3-6 Mafia, Too Short. We will definitely be talking about 3-6 Mafia in this episode. What's really interesting about Lil Jon is that he brought his experience as an A&R dude to sell the brand of the group. And he knew how to do it through street teams, radio, promos. He got on the airwaves way easier than everyone else did because he knew how to play that local market. And he was just really smart on how to market himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole brand, and people thought Kronk music, they were kind of referred it to early the Beastie Boys sound. It was just like this hype music. It wasn't about the lyrics, it was about like the emotion
and the energy
you fucking got from this shit. And then it all came to a climax with Get Low. That song was,
I know that one,
non-stop play at every high school prom, on the radio, every dance, everywhere you fucking went. This
it
song
still gets played.
Still
like
plays.
It's still in pop culture. I wouldn't say it's at a bunch of high school dances still. But
yeah,
like,
but it definitely pops up at someone's
it's
wedding.
Around,
It definitely pops up at weddings.
Your wedding is just going to be Get Low on repeat.
It's going to be the unedited version.
Your first dance.
Yeah.
Is going to be to Get Low.
Skeet, 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 motherfucker.
Exactly.
I'm just going to be screaming that shit all over the reception. Get Low dropped and the world exploded. And what's funny is that this didn't even chart in the top fucking 10, but it still made waves. And it featured the launching the careers of the Ying Yang Twins. This was their biggest song feature.
Is it spelled with a Z?
No, it's with an S.
Well, that's no fun.
I know.
Because my favorite thing about looking through crunk playlists is seeing all the songs spelled with Z's instead of S's.
Dude, it's the best shit. Do you remember the Whisper song?
I'd have to hear it. I don't remember the name, but...
Oh, man. Cover your ears, children, because...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is going to be great. As long... The one thing I really need to get ad block.
You really do. Why have you not yet?
Because I forget.
Oh, yeah.
This is how I
know it because of like memes, but I don't like I honestly can't say if I've ever heard the entire song all the way through. But yeah, I definitely
It is quite filthy. It's quite filthy. It was very much dirty rap. It was just...
It was the OG ASMR. Spouse
women in that ass.
It was the OG ASMR.
That's right. This is where ASMR was birthed through. The Ying Yang Twins.
Yeah.
Krunk has created so much shit. Get Low came on at number 2 in the charts. I was wrong about my previous fact. I was thinking of another song.
Wow.
Number 2 on the charts, right behind Baby Boy by Beyonce and Sean Paul.
Well, Beyonce's great.
So. Of course. It never would be. Get Low had 3 versions. Obviously, there was an edited version that didn't edit the word goddamn, and then there was one with no bad words, and then the regular uncut version. This exploded Krunk to, like, the masses. People couldn't stop listening to this shit, and there were remix versions. There was a merengue version with Mr. Worldwide, 305, Pitbull.
Jesus.
Early Pitbull. Then there was a remix with KRS-One, Busta Rhymes, MC Ren, PD Pablo, and DJ Boyo. Back in the 2000s, if people wanted to remix your song, they hopped on. People hopped on these fucking songs.
Yeah. It's like a list of like 10 people.
Exactly. If that shit was hot, they wanted to hop on that train. And I don't see that shit anymore. Very few remixes are like this hot anymore. But like people just hopped on this fucking train. The song finished 70th at the end of the decade chart. Top 100.
Jeez.
Which is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Also,
for a decade.
Also from that album, they dropped one of possibly my favorite song, What You Gonna Do, which is very much a fight song. I definitely got angry in the car. I definitely wanted to like mosh pit and like punch someone in the face. Like, this was during that time when a lot of crunk music, just made you want to fight people. I'm getting another phone call.
Alright, let's put it on hold once again.
Party
Like a Rock Star is middle school culture.
My, you know what's even worse about that? Now we're back. I got off the phone. So Party Like a Rock Star, when that shit fucking dropped, there were just t-shirts of that in Target and like Macy's in the kids section.
Yeah.
Party Like a Rock Star, all in these
but
big fonts.
But the song
fonts.
Was not appropriate for children.
It was not a fucking appropriate,
that.
Dude.
But
it, was...
it definitely played at my 8th grade dance.
Same.
I'm positive that.
That was... God, that was too fucking big. So now that we've kind of transitioned to like fight music and all that shit, let's talk about the Oscar award-winning group 3-6 Mafia.
What?
I'm gonna have to cut out all this. Should I cut out the time while I wait for you to cue up the sound effect, or do I just let everyone feel
the awkwardness
as long as we do?
I think the awkwardness helps a lot.
I agree. It's a nice touch.
So these guys won an Oscar for Best Song. They beat out Dolly Parton in 2006, and they won for their song It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. And I cannot express to you the amazingness of this night. And I'm just going to play the clip of when they fucking won. Because it is Queen Latifah announcing the winner. And it's pretty amazing.
It's hard out here.
Even Dolly Parton is excited.
I love that they come out in, like, jeans and a hoodie and a t-shirt, and it's just, like, surrounded by, like, proper nonsense. John Singleton right there. Jesus, rest in peace. And they are just, like, losing their minds.
Jesus, select our hits. We get us a
I'm saying? Gil Cates. Everybody, man. Hell, I got plenty of talent. If I don't know nobody else now, I want nothing. You gotta thank everybody.
Mr. Ellis, Dunny Einer.
Yeah. Once again, our family. Ludacris Chaka, what's up? Going down, same spot. George Clooney, my favorite man in the show. We
This is the greatest win I've ever seen in my life. Aside from Parton, Moonlight winning Best Picture, yeah, this is one of the greatest.
Even Dolly Parton looked
seen.
Excited, and she doesn't strike me as someone who would like be super into crunk music, especially.
Dolly Parton knew what inclusivity was. Even
oh yeah, no, she's an icon. It's just more of a like. It isn't something I would necessarily expect, especially since I'm saying she was one of the people who like they chose their like it was that song over her song,
over that.
But she looked real excited to see.
I mean, they're the only rap group to ever win an Oscar.
Oh yeah, no.
For best song. Eminem won for his
song.
Well,
you know,
but
racism, so.
Racism, exactly. Yeah. So, what's wild about them is that they were around for a long time, real deep, and their biggest album was their eighth album.
Jeez.
And it had songs like Stay Fly, Stay Fly, Popping My Collar, and Side to Side. That album was fucking legendary when that shit came out. I fucking loved Popping My Collar.
What's the song again? It's like, to the window, to the wall.
Get Low.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot it was that song. Again, I didn't actively listen.
Yeah, it's fine. But it was just, I was like, I literally talked about it a whole page. You were just like, what's that window to the wall song?
Well,
it's very mom of you.
I need I told you, I'm drinking red wine. I'm feeling 40 today.
That is very true.
This was already established.
Yeah, like, then they broke up in 2012. TJ Paul started a side group, kind of like 3-6 Mafia. I forgot what they were called. Juicy J was still around now, making trap music with other people around. So it's, you know, they've done pretty well. I know a few of the members passed away. And they have talked about coming back to make music together. I've always loved this group, and dude, they fucking win an Oscar. You know how like real that shit was to like hip hop? That was fucking wild. These guys from Memphis that fucking crushed it. Do you feel angry sometimes, Catherine?
Yeah, I was feeling angry on the drive here.
Why?
Because there are people driving like they've never seen an interstate before.
That's very true. So if you heard this back in the day, this is when your heart rate rose above 100 and you wanted to fuck somebody up at a party. Do you remember this song?
What's the chorus?
Knock if you buck it. It's literally... Like, this is... I mean, this was one of the biggest songs I'd ever heard at the time. This is the brawl-inducing platinum hit, Knuck If You Buck, by Crime Mob. The song's lyrics have been described as a celebration of elbow throwing and fist fighting. It is famous song for starting fights in clubs and parties all over the United States. For example, in 2006, I remember this story. During a late night party at a Howard Johnson Hotel ballroom near Fredericksburg, Virginia. A fight on the dance floor began after the DJ played the song, during which 16-year-old Baron Deuce Braswell II, who played on the football team at Cortland High School in nearby Spotsylvania, was stabbed to death.
Jesus.
And the guy that stabbed him was sentenced to 30 years in prison.
Well, he did stab someone to death.
Yeah, second-degree murder. In the following year, a fight broke out at an after-party hosted by the Harvard Society of Black Scientists and Engineers, because we know how the fuck they get down. Police arrested two people who were not affiliated with Harvard for disorderly conduct. In the rap yearbook, Megan Garvey considered Knuck If You Buck to be the most important song of 2004.
I like that crunk is like the new metal of hip-hop.
Dude, yes. Yes, it was aggressive because it came during a time when, you know, during... I think a lot of the best music came during the George Bush era, his first term as president.
Because everyone was just mad.
Everyone was angry, you know, everyone was...
Where's the metal music now?
Feeling emotions.
Well, I guess everyone's just depressed now. I think
everyone's just sad.
Everyone's just depressed.
Everyone's just a little sad. And, you know, and people wanted to feel something. And so people didn't want to rap to their songs a lot anymore. They just wanted to scream words. And this was that platform. And
like
so,
Party Like a Rock Star?
Yes, exactly like Party Like a Rock Star. 2004, it's super, quote, Megan Garvey said, quote, it's super essentialized beat and evergreen. I wish a bitch would threats never go out of season. Which is fucking true. Like, I wish this song played more at parties, but we know our friends, and they do not bust this shit out. The song received renewed attention in 2016 before a rally for the Donald Trump presidential campaign at the University of Illinois of Chicago that eventually was canceled on March 11th. Protesters were heard chanting, fuck Donald Trump, to the tune of Nuck If You Buck.
Nice.
That is...
Nice!
That is pure art right there, sir.
That's beautiful. I want that as my ringtone.
And what's kind of amazing about crunk music is that it still kind of prevails. I don't know what the fuck my neighbors are doing. It still exists in some way even now, because Lil Jon still exists.
He's around.
Turned down for what?
Mm-hmm.
Literally turned down for what?
Have you seen that music video?
Yes.
Oh, same
it is.
Time.
It is a wild fucking video.
Listeners, if you haven't, please look it up.
But yeah, please pause this and look that shit up.
It's a great time.
It's actually pretty fucking cool.
I've actually read the pitch that someone made for it. It's great. It's a great
dude,
pitch.
It is a wild, for such a monotonous song, it is quite the wild fucking video, because you gotta sell that shit.
Yeah.
Crunk music and Southern hip hop scene. Southern hip hop just exploded in the 2000s, and this is one of those. That small aspect that just exploded everywhere was marketable, and people were fucking loving it. Like,
and when you mentioned Atlanta earlier, it didn't surprise me.
No, Atlanta's such a fucking core. Yeah. The South, St. Louis, Atlanta, North Carolina, Memphis.
Absolutely.
A lot of these towns fucking blew the fuck up with hip-hop and their own style. So crunk had various subgenres. Even though it itself was a subgenre. So sub-subgenres, including... Strap in, Catherine.
Oh, boy.
Eurocrunk. Crunkcore, which is still a thing. Crunkzar. Aqua Crunk. Acid Crunk. And most recently, trap music.
Tag yourself.
I am Crunkcore.
I was going to say that, too.
But Aqua Crunk and Acid Crunk sound fucking wild.
Is Acid Crunk crunk, but, like, trippier?
I think it's like house music meets crunk.
Interesting.
I think, let's see what Wikipedia says. Crunk is a subgenre of house music developed by the mid-1980s from Chicago.
Hmm.
Deep bass lines and squelching sounds of a Roland TB 303.
Squelching. That's a fun noise. I am still unclear about exactly what defines trap music.
I think a lot of, I think trap, it's just more of like drug rap, you know what I mean? It's just new age drug rap, and, you know, by the end of the decade, crunk kind of went away, and this is when trap and drill music started coming up.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Much like new metal.
It's just kind of, if it's not dead, I would say evolved.
Well, it's the same thing with new metal.
It's the same thing with new metal. It's just, I don't think new metal evolved. It's just kind of, like Lil Jon... There's songs that are crunk music that could be metal music.
Yeah.
Like, Lil Jon has the perfect voice for metal. And he's the perfect energy for doing rock music. I would love to see
him. Just produce a song a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a Korn music video.
Well, it's like
The Twisted Transistor.
Yeah. And well, it's like you also get those people on YouTube who will take songs and then make it into different genres.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be really easy to do that with his music.
That's true. Yeah. I mean... Even everyone who's ever been taught, who's ever asked about crunk music, Lil Jon is the guy that really brought it out, exploded it, and then everyone that followed after. He's really the father of crunk in my eyes. He really brought this shit forward. Lil Jon should be given a star and a fucking statue somewhere in Atlanta or Memphis.
Does he not already?
No.
He should.
No, I think it should just be the words, yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay. And what? Just stapled everywhere. So, I think that is our take for crunk music, guys. I love that shit. It is. I'm definitely gonna blast that shit for the rest of the weekend.
I'm gonna go play Crank That Soulja Boy.
No. Did you hear a story about Soulja Boy that they fucking robbed his house?
Yeah, that's the funniest
shit ever, dude. That's the funniest shit while he was in jail. It's, oh my god. But praise be to Lil Jon. Honestly, sure. Praise be. Yeah, so do we have an album of the week?
Never.
Kathrine?
Oh, I know. Punk Goes Crunk.
Oof, that... Ooh, yeah, we didn't talk about Punk Goes Crunk. It is... inexplainable.
It was the first time I ever heard the word crunk, when I found All Time Low's cover of Umbrella by Rihanna.
That's true. I feel that. Let's see. I think I'm going to choose Crunk Juice, which is Lil Jon the East Side Boys' last album. Last album that they did, which was wild. And I love crunk album art. It's so good. It's a great lesson in graphic design. So next week, if there is a next week.
Every episode after this just gets lost.
We are just like on a wire of just like, will we ever exist again?
Because it's been a while.
Wow,
I hate it. Thanks.
I'm sorry. So let's see. I think next week, I want to talk about an interesting topic that popped in my mind when I was walking to my car. I want to talk about cell phones.
Okay, I'm down.
You know, just the fucking... So here's the funny thing. And I need to play this sound, and I hope I can find it right now. I was walking to my car, and I heard a very familiar sound. Oh, God, I want to say this is it. Do you remember that sound?
I don't remember what it is, but it triggered.
It's very trigger. It's... Hold on, let me find the proper one. I think this is the chirp. It's a 30-second video. This nonsense.
What is that from?
It is the Nextel walkie-talkie sound effect on the phone.
I was gonna say, it sounds so familiar, but I can't remember.
Definitely want to talk about some of my favorite cell phones back then, because now there's no favorite cell phone anymore.
I need to go look up what exactly mine were, because I only remember the brand.
I remember a lot of the bodies that we had: Samsung, Nokia, Sony Ericsson when that was a thing. The Sidekick.
I had Motorola.
Yeah, Motorola.
Mm-hmm. Motorola, and I think Samsung. Unless I make things up in my mind.
You know what's wild is, like, we don't have that diversity in phones anymore. It's just iPhones and Droids.
Pretty much.
And they all look the same.
Yeah.
So there's no, oh, I got this. Everyone had a different color, different brand. Like,
it's an iPhone or an Android until someone hands it to me. And I'm like, and whether or not I know how to use it decides which or which.
Yeah, so next week we're just going to talk about some of our favorite cell phones, like the LG Chocolate. When that fucking came out, I wanted that shit so bad.
I still have fond memories of my first phone.
If I go back to my parents' house...
first phone. I love that phone.
If I go back to my parents' house, I still have a slide phone from Nokia. I'm going to bring that shit. I'm sure I can find it. It was one of my favorite phones I'd ever had.
I'm pretty sure I still have my old phone somewhere and at my parents' house.
Right.
Because I had to use one of them for a couple months because I lost
the
other one.
Nice. Yeah, so join us next time when we talk about... our old data plans.
Jeez.
Being, were you in my faves? I don't know. We'll find out.
Next week.
Goodbye.
Gucci.
Stay crunk.